Good evening.
Good evening.
First, I would like to speak to those of you who may not have read very much or deeply in the message of the Infinite Way. One of the main reasons that there is a message of the Infinite Way is that it was revealed to me many, many years ago that there are no answers to prayer because we go to God, a spirit, with a human mind. To pray with a human mind is to reach no higher than one's own belief. It has been said, in accordance with your belief, so be it unto you. And there are many wonderful things brought about by the human mind. But these have no relationship to God or spiritual power. The prayer that brings an answer is a spiritual activity that takes place within an individual when they are still, when they are silent, when they are peaceful. There is a part of every one of us which is in direct contact with God. Every one of us is spiritually at one with God. It makes no difference who we may be, saint or sinner, sick or well, rich or poor. There is a spiritual contact within each one of us. The Master referred to that as the Father within me. The Father within me, he doeth the works. There is that Father within us, your Father and my Father. There is that spiritual center within each one of us. We are told that when God utters his voice, the earth melteth. All evil fades away. All error is eliminated from our lives. But we are told to be still. Be still in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, your health, your harmony, your wholeness, your completeness, your perfection, in quietness, in confidence. Be still. We have the illustration of the Hebrew boy Samuel. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. The still small voice never starts and never ends. The still small voice is talking to us, within us, 24 hours a day. There is never a second of the day or night when the still small voice is not uttering itself within us and bringing to us harmony, wholeness, completeness, and perfection. And why do we not receive it? Because we are not listening. Because we are not silent. Because we are not still. Because we are not abiding in quietness and in confidence. It is no different than your radio or television. If you don't have it turned on, tuned in, you get no program. Never doubt for a moment that there is a moment when God is not broadcasting. Don't ever think that God speaks to us at some period of the day or some period of the night or once in a year or twice in a lifetime. Oh no, God is speaking to us 24 hours a day. There is no time in the day, there is no time at night. And it makes no difference whether we are in sin or disease or lack or limitation, still, that still small voice is speaking to us and it is bringing us the very things that we desire, but which we cannot receive because we are not listening. There are some of you here tonight who will not catch this message, who will not hear it, because you did not come here in stillness and silence to receive it. And you came with your human mind active and busy. Well, the still small voice can't get through to you any more now than it could 6 hours ago. There must be a preparation for receiving God. There must be a preparation and a meditation. I will meditate day and night, the psalmist tells us. Day and night. Christ Jesus told us that if we do not live in the Word and let the Word abide in us, that we would be as a branch of a tree that is cut off and withereth. Of course, that's what we are. Because we do not abide in that word, we do not let God abide in us, we keep the human mind so busy that even at prayer time, even at meditation time, we do not have the ability to keep it quiet enough to hear that voice and to receive the impartations from God, which would lift us out of our humanhood and bring to us the experience of spiritual grace. Now, spiritual grace is not something that comes to us in our busy humanhood. It comes to us through a preparation for it. Oh, yes, it comes to us in our busy humanhood if we have made preparation for it. In our work, our goal is so developing that listening ear, that inner awareness, that we live almost constantly in this open ear. We may be talking, we may even be having a lot of fun. And we do have a lot of fun in our lives. But even in the midst of that, there is a little space inside where we're listening, where we're attentive, where we are aware of the fact that there is a God closer to us than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. Even at mealtime, even at sleeping time, there is always this open ear. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And it isn't so much that we are caring whether or not we hear a voice. What we mean by that listening attitude is that we are alert and attentive and expectant of the feel or the presence, the awareness of this Father that the Master taught him. The Father within me, he doeth the works, my Father and your Father. But actually, it wasn't doing the works for most of the Hebrew people. It was for him, for Jesus. It was from time to time for the disciples. It was occasionally for the apostles. But for the multitudes, that Father within was conspicuous by his absence. And therefore, the Master went up and down the Holy Lands teaching prayer that Paul said must be without ceasing, prayer turning to the Father within in quietness and in confidence, expecting good to unfold from within our own being. Now, for the human being who is not accustomed to meditation, who is not accustomed to practicing the presence of God, who is not accustomed to abiding in the Word and letting the Word abide in them, who is not accustomed to dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, or living and moving and having their being in God, there must eventually come a time when they decide, God's grace must be for me too. Why must I always be outside looking in? Why must it be that I must struggle for health, for harmony, for supply, for home, for companionship? When we are taught that the way of the Master was not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Not by might, not by any kind of striving or struggling, not resisting evil. Oh no, resist not evil. Resist not evil. Rest. Abide. Dwell. And then you find that the broadcasting station was on the air all of the time. We weren't receiving it because we weren't hearing. We weren't listening. We weren't still. We weren't at peace. And the still small voice can only be heard when we are still, when we are at peace. The preparation for this varies with the individual. Experience has shown us that the very first step in acquiring that listening ear, that inner stillness that can receive God, can come through a practice that is called practicing the presence of God. That's what Brother Lawrence called it, practicing the presence of God. We have a program which we follow, and it too is practicing the presence literally. And it means this, that when we awaken in the morning, instead of jumping out of bed quickly, or instead of beginning the day with griping and grumbling, that we lie still for 5 or 10 minutes and immediately begin to realize that God made this day. God made the sun to shine. God brought the rain. God either is growing those flowers outside, or God is preparing them for their next season's growth. They are not neglected. You may be assured of this, that in November and December and January, February and March, if you look at your trees or your flowers and believe for a moment that they are neglected, that God has forsaken them because of their barren appearance, you will be mistaking the entire function of God. For even in that barrenness, even in that cold, even in what seems to be utter, sometimes ugliness, there is a process going on within the ground, within the very roots, and soon within the trunk, and the branches, and the vines. And as spring returns, we find that God was at work all of the time throughout this period of seeming stagnation. So that whether we awaken in the spring, when the buds are coming in, or the summer, when flowers are in full bloom, or whether we look out now and see them apparently dying, they aren't. They're just going to their rest. Or in the winter, when they seem completely barren, we must practice the presence of God by consciously remembering God is at work in all of nature. The fish are being fed. They're being led to their spawning places. The birds in the air are migrating. North in summer, south in winter. All nature is being prepared for the coming weeks and the coming months because the activity of God is here and now where they are. And then you ask yourself the question, are these greater in the eyes of God than I am? The answer must come quickly. Why, no. We are they who were given dominion over all of these. Everything in the earth and in the water, in the air and the skies. We were given dominion. We are greater than they. Then how much more is it true that right now, whether in my seeming barrenness, ugliness, sickness, sin, lack, limitation, how much more so now must I realize that God is at work within me? Right here, where I am, the Father within me, He doeth the works. And by this time, we are ready to get up and make our physical preparations for the day. As we turn to our breakfast, we pause again All of the food on our table is an evidence of God at work. Not merely that it's on our table, but that it is in existence at all. And here's time again for practicing the presence of God, consciously remembering. God sets the table in the wilderness. God is responsible for the crops in the ground, for the oil, for the metals, for the jewels, for the cattle on 1,000 hills. All of this God has brought forth into expression. So we go from task to task throughout the day, but regardless of what we are doing, whether it is housework inside, business work outside, there are occasions for us to remember that God's grace is with us wherever we are. Remember, if I mount up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art there. The voice is always saying, whithersoever thou goest, I will go. So we're remembering, here where I am, in the midst of these labors, in the midst of my rest, in the midst of my work, where I am, God is. Where God is, I am, for we are one. The Father is within me. We are not in two separate places. The Father is within me. Closer to me than breathing. Here where I am, God is. The ground whereon I stand is holy ground. The place whereon I stand is holy ground. Why? Because the Father is here where I am. Evening comes, night comes. I know the distractions of these days. I'm well aware of the fact that radios and televisions are blaring all day and all night, and that if you permit it, that you will remain separated from God for the rest of your days on earth. If for any reason, even to please your children, if you're going to permit that blaring, that noise, to go on day and night, there's no reason for you to doubt that you are going to be a branch of the tree that is cut off and withereth. You are, and you can make up your mind to it. Others have been in past ages, when the distractions were not of that nature, but are of a different one. Now, the radio has its place, I'm sure, and so has television. Because, as I said before, we all enjoy pleasure, we all enjoy periods of fun, and we all have occasion for a little entertainment, even of a nonsensical variety. But this doesn't have to occupy all of the hours between sundown and bed. There must be, for the spiritual student, there must be for the purpose, the person who is seeking harmony, seeking God, or seeking healing, or seeking happiness, there must be periods for this practice of the presence of God. There must be periods when we shut out the world, we shut out our neighbors, we shut out our friends, we shut out our family. I realize that all those who indulge this are often criticized by members of their families, because you're neglecting us. be surprised how the same members of the family a year or two later are blessing you for having neglected them, because now you have attained that with which you can bless them far beyond their dreams, without which you could never have done more than some human good. This practice of the presence of God brings about what you feel now in this room, a stillness, a quietness, and eventually it begins to pervade your system, your mind, and your body. It isn't many months until it becomes so much of a habit that you can live your normal day and your normal night and still never miss a single hour of the day or night without some conscious remembrance of the presence of God, of the power of God, of the function of God in your life, and of the omnipresence of God where you are. This, of course, is the object, the ultimate, because there never would be a discord of any nature in the world happening to anyone in the world if it weren't for a sense of separation from God. There isn't an individual who has ever come into my life at any time in these last 30 years seeking any kind of help, who wasn't doing it because there was a sense of separation from God. They weren't in contact with God. They weren't receiving God's grace. And so there was need for a mediator. That is the function of the teacher or the practitioner, to be a mediator. It's only a temporary relationship that can ever be a permanent mediator. That's why the Master said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. You cannot have a permanent practitioner. You cannot have a permanent teacher. If you could, then the wealthy would have a very wonderful life, because they could hire one by the day, week, or month, and just have them do nothing but devote the days and nights to keeping them physically, mentally, morally, financially happy. But you know, that isn't possible. There isn't anyone on earth that has that much money that they can hire a practitioner to constantly keep them out of trouble. A practitioner or a teacher is a temporary relationship. The practitioner much more so than the teacher, because the practitioner is a bridge helping the individual through their problems until the individual begins to get some grasp of the principles themselves. The teacher goes further, because the teacher continues to work with the student until the student has their full and complete realization of their oneness with God, and then from there on, their relationship with their teacher is just that of a good friend and probably an occasional helper. Now, when through this practicing the presence, which really means acknowledging God in all our ways, this greater degree of peace and quiet comes upon us, we are then ready for the next step, which is meditation. Now, meditation is the deepest secret of all the spiritual life. There is nothing that goes beyond meditation, because it is in and through meditation that all of the rest of the harmonious life begins to unfold. Now, meditation has many steps, many stages. There isn't just one meditation. There isn't one way of meditating. There are several, and meditation has several purposes, as well as several depths or degrees. But meditation is the next great step after the quietness that comes from practicing the presence of God. Now, our first meditation is called the contemplative meditation. It is the simplest form, it is the first form, and it is the one that we use most of all, and one which, in some measure, no one ever outgrows. Although, the deeper you go in life, the deeper you go in the spiritual life, the less use you will have of contemplative meditation and more of the next forms or steps. But so far as I know, and so far as my own experience goes, or those of any of the spiritual lights whom I've ever met, no one has ever yet entirely outgrown contemplative meditation, for very often it is the stepping stone to the second stage, which is a communion, an inner communion. Now, contemplative meditation is not only the beginning of our prayer work, it is also the beginning of treatment. I make a distinction between prayer and treatment. Prayer is our relationship with God, more especially when we are not thinking of any specific problems to be met or overcome or seen through, but rather when we go to God merely for the purpose of communion, merely for the purpose of oneness. But treatment is when we are going to have contemplative meditation or prayer with some specific problem that we're facing and that we wish to see dissolved. So, let us start with a contemplative prayer, contemplative meditation, which is prayer, that has for its purpose only, let us say, the realization of God. Yes, the realization of God. And let us assume for a moment that either the businessman or the housewife, businessman or woman or the housewife, has come to a place of rising early enough so that there is to be a period of anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes or 30 sometimes for just a communion with God. Now remember that before this there has been that acknowledgement of God on awaking in the morning, that practicing of the presence of God before getting out of bed. And this period may come before breakfast or after, according to the situation in the household. But we will assume now that our student knows right well that today is only going to be as good as they make it. In other words, if you wish to be free of things happening to you and come to the place of actually having dominion over your day, you will have to arrive at that place through this period of morning meditation. And so we will call this a contemplative meditation or prayer, which is to set the pattern for our day. We seat ourselves in a chair. The position we assume is the one that is most comfortable to us. Let us not be concerned with what position somebody else takes in meditation. They are working out their demonstration. You must work out yours. And I have found that if I take a position which permits me to more nearly forget my body, it is usually a position in which my back is straight against a chair, my feet are on the floor, and my hands are in my lap. In this position, I can relax and hardly be aware of the fact that I have a body. And now I'm ready. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, this that I am doing is in no wise a formula, and even though you hear the tapes or own the tape, please do not copy it and memorize it, because you will find it about as useful as every day in every way I'm getting better and better. And that isn't very useful, as you know. But this is the theme. Yours will undoubtedly be along this line, but entirely different in thoughts or words, though the theme will be the same. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is harmony. Then harmony can only be where the Spirit of the Lord is. If I am really to know harmony, freedom from discord, freedom from lack, freedom from pain, freedom from sin, freedom from false appetite, if I'm to know these things, it can only be by and through the presence of God. For it is only where the presence of God is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, that there is freedom. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? Closer to me than breathing. The Father within me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with thee unto the end of the world. Whithersoever thou goest, I will go. Whither shall I flee from the Spirit of God? Impossible. For the Spirit of God is within me. The Spirit of God is within me. The Father is within me. Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. Ah, here is my harmony. Here is my freedom. The Father says, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And the Master said, if you abide in this word, if you let me abide in you, this God, you will bear fruit richly. So if I abide in the remembrance that the kingdom of God is neither low here nor low there, you do not have to go to holy mountains or to temples in Jerusalem, for the kingdom of God is within you. Ah, then, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom from all inharmony and discord, and this kingdom of God, this Spirit of God, this presence of God is within me. Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. I and the Father are one. Here, where I am, is holy ground. Grateful indeed am I for the many mystics who have told me that if I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, none of these evils would come nigh my dwelling place. And those who said, lean not unto thine own understanding, acknowledge him in all thy ways, he will give thee rest. In quietness and in confidence, be still. Be still and know that I, in the midst of thee, am God. Be still and know that I, and where the Spirit is, where the presence of God is, there is liberty, there is freedom, justice, completeness, perfection, wholeness, guidance. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, and it is his pleasure, good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. And think, this Father is within me. I do not have to tell it my needs for today. I do not have to ask its favor. God's grace is my sufficiency in all things. I need not lean on my own understanding. I need not tell God what I think I need. I need not tell God where to go and what to do and who to bless. I need only dwell in this secret. I need only abide in this presence. I need only live in this realization, God is within me, the kingdom of God, the realm of God, the reign of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the law of God is within me. All that the Father hath is mine. Verily, verily, the place whereon I stand is holy ground. In this my home, on the street, in the car, in the bus, in the plane, above the waters, beneath the waters, above the land, on the land, under the land, where I am, thou art. And all that thou hast is mine, all the wisdom, all the love, all the life, eternality, immortality, for thou and I are one, not two. We are inseparable, indivisible, just one. Thou art greater than I. The Father and I are one, but the Father is greater than I because the Father is the great, infinite, invisible, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, all, all, all. All might, all power, and to him all glory is due. And so I go about my work, I go about my travel, I go about my duties, knowing that I am not alone, for I and the Father are one, and God's grace is with me. I will go before you and prepare a place for you. In thy Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Just think, this presence, even now as I leave to go on the street, wherever I go, this presence goes before me to make the crooked places straight, to prepare a place for me, to open the consciousness of every individual I meet to God's grace. God's presence greets me behind every door I enter. God's presence looks out at me through every pair of eyes I meet. God's love envelops them and me, for we are one. There is neither Greek nor Jew, there is neither bond nor free. We are one, all of us, of any race or religion or country, creed, clime, color. We are one, one in God. You see, now you have set the pattern for your day. But just think of how many minutes of stillness, of silence, of listening there had to be for this all to come through you. Because you can't make it up, you can't invent it. It pours through you as you settle down into this silence, even though you may have to prime the pump a little at the beginning by remembering some of these passages of Scripture. And then from these, the rest will flow. And so at night, you don't know how foolish it is, many of you, to be so tired at night that you just jump into bed and forget. Being tired's all right, jumping into bed's all right. If only you remember not to go to sleep too quickly, or if you remember not to lie there pondering your problems. But remember, the 12 hours have probably gone by, 15, 16, 18 hours, since you have lived in the actual presence of God. And here you're going to sleep, not knowing what's going on around you, about you, outside of you. And so you're going to establish that. And again, we'll have this contemplative prayer or meditation with which we wind up our day. God, thou hast been with me throughout this day. If there have been mistakes or discords or inharmonies, it was only in proportion as I wasn't listening for thy voice, for thy guidance, for thy direction, and went right ahead on my own, leaning on my own understanding. In that case, I must realize that tomorrow I must give closer heed to he that is within me. For he that is within me is greater than he that is in the world. Actually, if I failed, it was because I forgot that he performeth that which is given me to do. He performeth that which is given me to do. And probably I relied too much on my own ability and my own memory, on my own knowledge, my own wisdom, instead of relaxing and remembering, he that is within me is greater than he that is in the world, and He that is within me performeth that which is given me to do. Perhaps I didn't relax enough in that assurance, in that certainty that God's grace was my sufficiency. So let me correct that tomorrow. Meanwhile, as God made the day, so God makes the night. And as God has governed the day, so God will govern the night. And so I rest and sleep in God's care. For he that is within me never sleeps, never slumbers. He that is within me is ever by my side. I relax myself in thy care. Thy grace is my sufficiency in all things. And so you see, we have this form of prayer or contemplative meditation in which we are setting the pattern for our days and for our nights. And the pattern is, of course, that no longer are we living our own lives. We are beginning to approach Paul's ideal, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth my life. Now, with this meditation and prayer, we begin to actually demonstrate that which we could have been doing the past 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. As long as we have been on earth, we could have been living by the grace of God instead of by the sweat of our brow. We could have been living without pain instead of with pain. Only we didn't know. We didn't know that the gabble, gabble, gabble of the tongue was keeping us from our spiritual demonstration of harmony. We didn't know that keeping ourselves so busy with our hands and feet, we were preventing he that is within me performing the functions for me. Now we know. The other form of, or rather, the next form of meditation may really be what we would call metaphysical treatment. And this is where we may be meeting some specific condition that faces us. If it is a condition of inharmonious human relationships, it may be within the family, husband, wife, children, parents, neighbors, friends. It may be employer, employee. It may be customer and storekeeper, storekeeper and customer. Whatever it is, if it's of a human relationship, we have to set aside a time for specific meditation or treatment. Here again, unless we know the principles of the infinite way, we just cannot do the treatment work along this line, because here we have certain specific principles that constitute our healing work, our treatment work. And in this particular case of relationships, it begins with the word God. God is your father and my father. God is the creative principle of all life, your life and my life. God's mind is our mind, yours and mine. God's will governs you and me and all mankind and the human, animal, vegetable, mineral world. God's grace is the cement to our relationship. B Because of what I've learned from the Master, I know that before I can receive a blessing from the spiritual center of my being, I must learn to forgive all those who have wrought against me or toward whom I have any animosity. In order to be the Son of God, the Master told us that we must pray for our enemies, pray for those who despitefully use us, pray for those who persecute us. And so in obedience to this spiritual wisdom and spiritual law, Father, I acknowledge, I forgive. I forgive, I release anyone, everyone, from any sense of obligation to me, from any sense of hurt, from any desire for revenge. I release everyone into thy care, into thy keeping. I hold no one in bondage to my animosity. I hold no one in bondage of any debt to me. I forgive every debt and every debtor. No one owes me anything. I set them free. God's grace is my sufficiency, therefore, I need nothing from man whose breath is in his nostril. I set everyone free. You owe me nothing. I forgive you your offenses. For it wasn't an offense against me, it was an offense against the Christ of your being and of mine. I forgive you. Like the Master, I could say, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. But that's your demonstration, not mine. My demonstration is to forgive you. Forgive you from border to border, from country to country, government to government. President, king, potentate, dictator, whoever, whatever, wherever, I forgive you. May God's grace open your eyes. May God's grace bless you. May God's grace envelop you. Often, the problems that confront us are physical, concern health. And here we come to again our treatment, which we always start with the word God. God constitutes my being, God constitutes your being, or his or her, whoever it is that's in my thought. God constitutes individual being. Therefore, God's being is whole, pure, perfect. Therefore, the nature of man must be pure, godly, whole, complete. God and man are one. Therefore, all that God has, that's what man has. And so we find that the nature of your being is pure, holy, godly, good. And this evil, infection, contagion, heredity, accident, call it what you will, age, change, this is not of man. This is that ancient belief that there are two powers. The ancient belief that there is both good and evil. But there isn't. God is infinite good. Therefore, nothing is evil. And we recognize that. Nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So let us not make it good or bad. Let us remember that all that is God made, all that God made is good. Therefore, there are no powers of good or evil, for good is the only reality, the only being. God itself constitutes all there is of man. Nothing enters that defileth or maketh a lie, for God and man is one, not two. Sometimes the problem is supply. And here we have a belief that we either have something, or we have little, or we have nothing. And the safest start toward the demonstration for supply is to acknowledge, Father, I have nothing and want nothing. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and I'm satisfied with that. I think it's in good hands. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Well, maybe I am a little bit selfish, because now I just remembered, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. How comforting it is to know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that the Father hath is mine. And this is the answer to the question of lack. By claiming personal possession, we have separated ourselves from our good. Whereas by surrendering it, just as often we have to surrender our lives, and then find we're healthier than we ever were before, after we've given up our lives to God, instead of trying to keep them for ourselves and improve them. This will sound good with background music. My life's ambition: be on the stage with music playing, and here I've got it. See how patient wins out. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and Son, all that I have is thine. It's so relaxing, it's so comforting, and it takes the complete strain off of our mind and enables us to be quiet and listen for that still small voice. Now do you see why I said right at the beginning, never come to any place where you are to receive a message of truth until you have prepared yourself by many, many, many minutes of inner silence and stillness, so that you can be prepared to receive God's grace. Never sit down to your meditations until you've read a few pages of one of your favorite books, spiritual books, or scripture. Then, in that preparedness, begin your meditation or your treatment. Never attempt anything in the nature of prayer or meditation until you are inwardly prepared with a bit of stillness. Unless, of course, the occasion won't wait. But that isn't the usual thing, that's the exceptional thing. And then you'll find that from there on, you go to other forms of meditation. The one after this one is a meditation which is an inner communion. That you can't be taught, that you experience within yourself. It is when you are definitely and consciously aware of another presence beside yourself, and there is something going from you to it and something from it to you, all taking place within you, and that is communion. After that, of course, comes the final experience, which is union with God. But be assured of this, before that can come, it is necessary that we have learned to live most of the hours of the day and night in quietness and in confidence and with speech only when absolutely necessary. Thank you for this very quiet and beautiful evening. Thank you for this entire wonderful week. And thank you for all of the joy and all of God's grace that has come to us through you, for the beauty, the flowers, the gifts, the love. And for that Manchester weather that Mr. Spencer tells us is always like this, except the last 15 years.